Turn with me to Psalm 100. Please. Psalm 100. You'll all be happy to hear that my plan, at least, is to be very, very, very brief in this second service. You might not be too pleased to hear that. A lot of times that is my plan, but my plan don't work out all the time. So, but this time I'll try to make the plan work. Psalm 100. This is a great psalm of God's word. It is a small 5-verse psalm, prayer, song. I guess we could even term it a prayer song. Where it is placed in the book of Psalms as a whole, it tells us that its immediate application is to the people of Israel, but as we are about to read in verse 1, its declarative commands are expanded to all the earth. So that means the truth of this psalm is also applicable to us as well. It is applicable to us as God's created beings, and it is applicable to us as God's chosen people. So Psalm 100, beginning in verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. There's that, the proper name of God again, the personal name of God, Yahweh. So make a joyful noise unto Yahweh, all ye lands. Serve Yahweh with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that Yahweh, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for Yahweh is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So this psalm is a declaration. Really, it is a declarative command. There are actually 7 Hebrew imperatives, 7 Hebrew commands in this short text of Scripture. And we, all ye lands, that literally means all the earth, we are commanded in verses 1 and 2 to praise Yahweh, to praise Him. But we should see here that this command is much more than some dry, stoic praise. The psalm literally says, shout joyfully to Yahweh, all the earth. Shout joyfully. I know that's something we're not used to thinking about as Baptists. But it says to shout joyfully, to shout, and to shout joyfully to Yahweh. It is commanding the whole earth to shout joyfully in glad, joyful, shouting, singing, serving praise. And basically, the imperative of this passage is that God Yahweh is so worthy to be served. We ought to be filled with such glad joy that our glad joy bursts forth in singing and exultant shouting just for the opportunity, just for the privilege to serve Him, to serve God Yahweh. That's what this verse, this first 2 verses, verses 1 and 2, is telling us. We should be so thankful for the privilege to serve God. Do you understand? He does not owe us this privilege. Not even for us to serve Him. Not even for us to praise Him. He doesn't owe us that privilege. He doesn't owe anyone that privilege. He owes no created being or no inanimate object the privilege to serve Him and to praise Him. But yet He gives us that privilege. He gives us that blessed opportunity to praise Him in joyful shouting, singing, serving praise. I remember a few years back, me and your pastor and a couple of other men went down to Jacksonville to a conference down there. And it's an African-American church, okay? You get it. So we got there, and let's just say that it's a little more excitable in there than it is in most of our buildings on a Sunday morning. And we both made the comment, we don't need all of that, but we sure could use some of it. Amen. And boy, we could. And not just for it'd be pleasing to the flesh, but God commands us to. We shouldn't be shy about shouting praise to the Lord. You know, we've had that stolen from us, really. We've allowed it to be stolen from us by other denominations, if you will, other people that go way off in left field with it. But that often is the case that when we see something taken off in left field, we go way over here in right field. Way too far at times over in right field. Just to make sure that we're not associated with those in left field. Okay, but what we need to be is not in the right field and not in the left field. We need to be in the biblical field. We need to be Bible-believing, Bible-practicing people who walk in the truth of God's Word. And we're commanded here to praise the Lord with gladness, to praise Him with joy, to shout His praises, to praise Him with singing and praising with serving, just because He gives us the opportunity to do so, the privilege to serve God Yahweh is something we should be so thankful for. So this is certainly not some dry, dead, so-called orthodoxy, is it? I fear that sometimes we become so orthodox, we become unorthodox.
Yes. Very good.
This command for praise, it makes sense if and when we can obey the command in verse 3. Notice verse 3. Don't run over this too fast. I know when we read it, it says know that the Lord, He is God. But understand that to know in verse 3, that is a command. In other words, there is something we must know. There is something that we are commanded to know. Know this, Yahweh is saying through His psalmist. Know this. What is it that we are to know? That Yahweh, He is God. He is God. Do you know that many in Christendom don't know that Yahweh is God? They don't know that He is God because a God who is God, He is God. And that means He is God alone. And that means He is God supreme. And that means He is God sovereign. He is the lone ruler, the lone reigner, the lone King, a God who is God, is God. There can only be one God. By necessity of what God is, or what a God is, there can only be one God. In other words, if there's many gods, who in the world's supreme? Nobody's God. If there's many gods, there's no gods. No, we are commanded to know. You are commanded to know here in God's Word, here in this text, that Yahweh, the Lord, Yahweh, He is God. And how do we know that He is God? Still in verse 3, how do we know? He made us. He made us. He is our Creator. You see, this is how God proves His supremacy. This is how God proves His sovereign Godhood. You are either created or you are the Creator. Think about all the multiplicity of gods, go back to Egypt, that they had at the time of Moses. All of those gods were created gods, created things. They were just things. That's all. Remember how the Lord talks all through the Old Testament about the gods of the heathen, of the nations, and them being dead and dumb idols, having ears but hearing not, having mouths and speaking not. They're created beings. So there is God and there is creation. In our case, there is God and He is our Creator. He is our Creator. This is what proves His sovereign Godhood. There's a reason that the doctrine of creation is so viciously attacked. There's a reason. Man is not really against being a created being. That would make their work, their scientific work, a lot easier if they could just admit that they were created beings. No, they are against God. They are against Yahweh being God, being supreme, being sovereign, and they being accountable to Him. There's where the ink is. But no, we did not make ourselves. No, not even out of monkeys. We did not make ourselves. That's laughable, isn't it? If we made ourselves out of monkey, that's what evolution says. I mean, we adapted and we did this and we did that and boom, We were a monkey and all of a sudden we're a man. Where is the in-between today? No, we did not make ourselves. And we did not make ourselves because we are not God. We are not God. So listen, this psalm, roughly, 3,000 years old? It disproved the theory of evolution right here in one verse. Yahweh is God. We did not make ourselves like the evolution dreams up and supposes. No, Yahweh did. He is God. The psalmist then elaborates, we are His people, His creation. We are the sheep of His pasture. And for this great truth, knowing this great foundation of all foundations, y'all understand, there's a reason that Genesis 1:1 is the cornerstone of Scripture. Okay? It's not the chief cornerstone, but it is the cornerstone. All the rest of the text of God's Word are founded upon Genesis 1:1. If you don't believe Genesis 1:1, you don't really believe the rest of God's Word. It's a foundational verse. Absolutely foundation. So knowing this foundation of all foundations, the command of verse 4 then, we must be, our hearts must be, verse 4 is temple language. Our hearts should be so full of thankfulness, worshipful thankfulness, and worship-filled praise. Knowing this foundation of foundations, we know who is God. He's even revealed His own name to us. His personal name to us. We know His personal name. It's Yahweh. That's how personally He wants us to know Him, by His first name, on a first name basis. Knowing who He is and knowing that He is God. He is supreme. He is the sovereign who created us and created everything. Knowing this foundation of all foundations, our hearts should be so full of thankfulness, worshipful thankfulness, and worship-filled praise and blessing to the glory of His name, to the glory of God. And then verse 5 fills us in on the entire picture. Our hearts and minds and our lives should be filled and running over with glad, joyful, even loud praise and worship-filled thankfulness and blessing for, notice, we would say because, here's why. Because the God who is our Creator, the God who is our God, God Yahweh, listen, y'all, He is good. He is good. He is the good God of, notice what it says, of everlasting mercy. Notice the end of the verse. Everlasting mercy, or another word that describes this word, this Hebrew word, is loving kindness. He is the good God of everlasting, infinite loving kindness and infinite truth. Literally, that Hebrew word, it means faithfulness or trustworthiness. He is the God of infinite faithfulness, infinite trustworthiness. So listen, this is some kind of declaration. No wonder God commands here such exuberant, exultant praise and worship to Himself. He is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth, His faithfulness is infinite to all generations. No wonder He calls us to be happy and glad in praising and to know Him and to praise Him and to worship Him and to serve Him. No wonder. But I want us to notice something else. And remember, everything we are reading here is from God Himself. So it is given in perfect intentionality. Okay? Every word we're reading is given to us in perfect intentionality. In other words, He said what He means, and He means what He says. Okay? Notice the description in the elaboration of the command to know that God is our Creator in verse 3. Look at verse 3 again. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It's He that's made us, not we ourselves. We are His people, notice this, and the sheep of His pasture. We are His people, and we are the sheep of His pasture. Now, think about something just on the surface here. Notice the possessive nature of what is being said. God made us. We are His creation. We are His people. We are His sheep. What's that saying to us? Obvious, isn't it? We are His. We are God's own possession. He owns us. Now think about this. Think about verse 3 now, along with verse 5. Just on the surface. Notice, just on the surface, a faithful, trustworthy, or truth-filled, if you want to say it that way, owner, okay? A faithful owner, he is not negligent to those he owns, right? If he is faithful, and he is a faithful owner, obviously, verse 3 is speaking ownership. God, He owns us. He owns us. He owns us. He owns us. And then verse 5 tells us what He is. He's faithful. He's faithful. So just on the surface of that, a faithful owner is not negligent. No, a faithful owner, he takes care of what he owns, right? He takes care of what he owns. Let that soak in a minute. He takes care of what he owns. But this description of us here and our relationship with Him, our relationship with God Yahweh, notice here in verse 3, notice here what He does not say. He does not say, "You are the brave lions of my plains." He doesn't say that, does He? He does not say, "You are the powerful jaguars of my jungle." He doesn't even say, "You are the mighty oxen of my field." No, He intentionally says here, "You are the sheep of my pasture." Sheep. Sheep who are not brave, but timid and scared. Sheep who are not powerful or mighty, but are weak. Sheep who are not self-sufficient and independent, but are constantly in need. Sheep who are so defenseless that they are constantly the prey of their enemies as well. They are so, I'm just going to say it, y'all, they are so dumb, they are so ignorant, we could even use the word stupid, that they will walk right away from their protector, right away from their provider for greener pastures, right into the jaws of their enemies. So get this. In this intentional description of us, the Lord our God, our Creator, He describes us as one of the most needy creatures of all of His creation. But no wonder we should be joyful and glad and filled with exultant, exuberant praise and worship, because He also intentionally tells us, actually, look, it is included in the command to know. So know this. Know this. Yes, Yahweh is God. Know this. But also, it continues. Know this. Yes, we are the most needy creatures on earth. But we are His. We are the most needy creatures on earth, but we are His. And, verse 5, He is good. Put that together. We are, if we're, He knows what He's saying here. This description, I guarantee you, you might be thinking, "I don't know about all that." Well, your God, your Creator said it. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows all of us better than we know ourselves. He called us sheep. He knows exactly what a sheep is. He created it. He knows what He created it to be. He knows its temperament. He knows its intelligence. He knows its weakness. He knows its strength, if it had any. It grows good wool, I guess. He created it. So when He called us His sheep, He knows exactly what He's talking about. He's saying to us that we are the most needy creatures on earth. But we are His, and He is good. And get this, when it says here in verse 5, notice that the Lord, again, this is the proper name, the personal name of God, that Yahweh is good, it's saying something very specific. That name Yahweh means something, okay? That's the reason that name is so important. That's the reason that name is the most repeated word, real word, other than a pronoun or something like that, a most repeated noun in the Old Testament. It's repeated 7,000 times. Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. And you know what it means? It means I exist. I exist. But it even means something more than that. You know when he told Moses, Moses said, hey, who do I tell the people that you are? He says, tell them I am that I am sent you. And what that means is that's part of this word here, this word Yahweh. What that means is he is the existing one who ever exists as he is. He ever exists as he is. So get what that means when it says Yahweh is good. The existing one who ever exists as he is, he was good and he is good and he will ever be good. And if he ever slips, he won't live up to his own name. Do you think God's going to live up to his name? I think it just told us that his faithfulness endures to all generations. He's going to live up to his name. He was good. He is good. He will forever be good. And saints, look at verse 5. We are the personal possession of this forever good God, whose loving kindness, whose mercy towards us is everlasting forever. Understand what this is saying. His mercy towards you, saint of God, is infinite. His faithfulness to our person and to our care is infinite as well. We are his sheep. He owns us. And a faithful owner will not neglect what is his. His faithfulness to our persons and to our care is infinite. In other words, sheep of God, we are God's. We are his. And he knows how needy we are. He knows how needy we are, and he wants us to know it too. He wants you to know how needy you are because he wants you to know that in all of your neediness, God knows we are sheep, and God knows we are his sheep, and God knows we are his needy sheep. And listen, know this, he will never tire of us needing him. He will never give up on us. He does not become weary of us needing him. He will never tire. He will never get sick of us coming to him for help. Never. That's what verse 5 ensures. We're his sheep. He knows how needy we are. It's no secret to him. Sometimes it's a real secret to us, though. He knows we're his sheep, but to his sheep, he is good. His mercy and his faithfulness is infinite. He's never, 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 not in a gazillion years, is he ever going to get tired of us needing him. Never going to tire of us coming to him for help. As a matter of fact, he says, come, 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 come. Ask, 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 ask. He's never going to get tired. He talks about that evil judge that just because the woman just kept hounding him, finally he said, all right, I'll give you what you want. Then he says, I'm this good and faithful God who gives infinite mercy to his own possession, his own sheep. Come to me. I'm not ever going to get tired of you coming to me. Know that you need me. He's never going to get sick of us coming to him for help. Actually, you know what he gets sick of? The New Testament describes it as grieving the Holy Spirit. You know what he gets sick of? He gets sick of us thinking and acting like we don't need him. That's what he gets sick of. You know the whole Bible? God has given us the whole Bible. You know why? Not just so that, you know, we can read it and say, oh, well, I've read the Bible and, you know, I read this many verses. That might be a good thing, but that's not why he's given it. This whole Bible, God has given it to us so that we will know the truth of him and us, and we will actually live in that truth. So that our mind and our lives will be governed by this word. Our thinking and our lives and our living will be governed by this word. That's what we should be doing with this book, with this text of scripture that we're looking at right here. with these commands. This is the reason he's commanding these things. Live in the truth. Live in the truth. Seven Hebrew imperatives that are really telling us, just live in the truth. You're my sheep. You're my needy sheep. But I will provide your every need because you're mine. Because I own you. Because I created you. I know exactly who you are. Quit acting like someone and something you're not. And live in the truth. And walk in the truth. You need me. That's what he's saying. And he's sufficient for our needs. He's sufficient. So are you weak? Defenseless? Scared? Totally insufficient? I'll just go ahead and answer it for you. Yes. Matter of fact, let me go one step further. If you think, oh, no, you don't know what you're talking about, preacher. Well, let me tell you what God's talking about. If that's your mindset, no, I'm not weak. No, I this is my life and I'm going to live it the way I want to. I'm not scared of nothing. I can do this. If that's your mindset, you're either self-deceived or you're faking it. You're just faking it. But if you know this, what we've been commanded to know, that we are sheep, weak, defenseless, scared, totally insufficient. Totally insufficient. Do you think, you really think that you're sufficient? How many times in the last, well, we've been together, what, 2-3 hours? How many in the last 2 or 3 hours, how many times have you thought to breathe? Or how many times have you thought, oh, I better get my heart to beat? Not one. But yet your heart keeps beating. And your breath keeps going in and out. Who do you think's in control of that? Yes. Not you. You're not sufficient enough to be in control of that. Ain't that right? I mean, you can look at me. I can't even do very good with what I do have a little bit of control over. Let alone something like actually making my heart beat and my lungs work. God, He's the one that gives life. He's sufficient. We're not. No, so if you know the truth that yes, yes, man, I am so weak. Absolutely. If God does not protect me and defend me, I'll be consumed by my enemies. Scared. Scared. Insufficient. If you say, yes, I know the truth, guess what? There's such great news here. Run to your shepherd, sheep. Run to him. He is good. He is good. Run to him. His mercy, his loving kindness. Verse 5, this is what it says. His loving kindness knows no end. His loving kindness is limitless. Not only is it limitless, you know what God's word, what he tells us in his word, he loves, he is so happy. He is delighted to give mercy to you. Think about that. It delights the soul of God to give mercy. It's infinite. His mercy towards us, his loving kindness is towards us is infinite, it's limitless, and he loves to give mercy to us. After all, guess what, Yahweh? The scripture says it over and over and over again. He is the God of salvation. He delights to give mercy. He tells us in his word, we often get things confused when we think about this verse. He said, I'm not thrilled over pouring out wrath on people. No. But he's thrilled about giving mercy. Matter of fact, he will forever give it to his sheep. He will forever give it exactly. Exactly, sheep, he will give us all the mercy you need. Every day, for all forever. All the mercy you need. Because, you know why? We sing it. Great is his faithfulness. He will give you, if you need him every moment of every day for all eternity, it will not be too much to ask. Not of him. Not of him. And in return for all of his benefits, in return for His goodness, His forever, His infinite mercy, His unfailing faithfulness, in return for His perfect delighting care of us needy sheep. This is what He wants in return. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. That's what He desires in return. Simply for us to joyfully acknowledge, serve, and worship Him as the God He is. As the God He is, this forever good, infinitely mercy, unfailing, faithful God and Creator that He is. To love Him, believe Him, trust Him, and walk in the truth. That's what He desires in return for all of His benefits. What do you need today? The Lord is sufficient for that need. If it's something you really need. I'm not talking about something we want. We all have wants. Sometimes those aren't what we need. I'm sure y'all have had some of them, right? I know I have. Oh, yeah. Want that, got to have that. Try to turn heaven and earth upside down to get it. And the moment you get it, man, you get this bitter taste in your mouth. It's like, well, that ain't all it's cracked up to be, right? But the Lord, we're His. He created us. He knows exactly what we need. If you really need it, He will give it to you. He will provide it for you. He's faithful and He's good. And His mercy knows no bound. Don't run from Him. Don't run. I know we're inclined to run away from Him, aren't we? Especially in times of pain. We run away from the Lord. It's a mystery. It's a mystery of this wicked flesh is what it is. It's a mystery. Oftentimes when we need Him the most, really, we go the other way from Him. But that's what this psalm was saying, really. Where He is, don't run away from Him. Don't run to those greener pastures, like us being the sheep that we are, right into the jaws of our waiting enemy. No, run to Him. He's faithful. You're not going to surprise Him with your pain. He already knows. He already knows. I thought about preaching a message about the disciples on the when the boat was sinking, you know, and Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat, and they were all upset. It offended them that He was asleep because they were about to die in their estimation. One stark picture there, though, they were scared to death, and these were men who had sailed on that lake. Me and Lewis were there on a day when I wouldn't want to have been out on the kind of boat they were in. Out there on that boat on that day, let alone at night in a raging storm like they were in. But you know one thing? The disciples, they were scared to death. But He was surprised at their little faith. He wasn't scared at all. And for them to have gone down on that night, He would have gone down too. Listen, our King, our Shepherd, He's not going down. He lives forever. Isn't that what we heard this morning? So if He lives forever, we can trust in Him and His mercies. No matter how hard the storm rages, He's trustworthy. Go to Him. Know you need Him, but know that He is God. He is good. He holds infinite mercy for His people. He's faithful throughout all generations. Let's bless His name. Let's pray. Lord, we do so thank You that You are so good and so great and so wonderful. Thank You for revealing Yourself to us in Scripture. And thank You, Lord, for revealing ourselves to us in Your Word. We often think way, way too highly of ourselves, and therein lies the problem. Help us to think rightly of You. Help us to think rightly of ourselves. And help us to walk in the truth, Lord. Plant Your word in our hearts, not just upon our ears, but in our hearts, that we may walk in the truth, live in the truth, think in the truth, and obey Your truth, and know You. Lord, help us to know You. and to love you. Help us to cast our cares upon you. You know how needy we are. We are your sheep, and you know our needs. Lord, we just pray for this church. You know their needs. You know, Lord, this past year and all the things that they have endured. But you are faithful. Give them the strength, Lord, to hope and trust in you. Give them, Lord, the ability not just to say, but to know that you are really God who is in control of everything. Help them to live in the realm of your sovereignty and in your sovereign mercy and grace. Comfort them. Bless our pastor. Comfort him and help him to comfort your sheep here. Use him for that end, Lord, we pray. And Lord, we just, again, help us to see you as you are. We thank you, Lord, that you are good. Your mercy is infinite. Your faithfulness is forever. Praise be to the glory of your name. Amen.